The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back. Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
We are back. Second hour of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, coming to you live from the studios of Republic Broadcasting on the 7th day of January, 2020. We got Vince Finelli on the phone with us from Missouri. Topic of conversation is this hellacious stuff that we've been bombarded with. How many years has it been going on, Vin? 15?
Well, weather manipulation has been going on since November of 1946.
Yeah.
And that was the first cloud seeding. That was with dry ice. But weather manipulation has been done using even liquid propane, because as if you just release liquid propane, as it expands, yeah, it cools.
Yeah.
By the way, propane is a refrigerant, and you can use propane in an automotive refrigerator. Of course, it's combustible, so it's dangerous, and I don't recommend it. But we've even used that. So, and by the way, am I supposed to be here? Because I thought I was just going to do 1 hour with you.
Well, I'm going to clean up these calls, and then I'll let you go, because
okay.
I know you've been out there farming all day.
Okay.
Let me go back to Bruce. Still there, Bruce?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll finish up there. And bless you, Vinny, for being a farmer and being a man of conscience and of education. It's rare to find people like that nowadays. I want to see what your thought is on bioaccumulation of these. By the way, barium and strontium, aren't those nuclear fission byproducts? Where are they sourcing this from reactors? You know,
very well could be.
Go ahead. Bruce, I've got a question for you. So let's say somebody knocked at your front door and said, "I'll tell you what, we're here and we're here to spray your house, and we want to make sure we get the walls and the rugs and the floors, and so we've got a container and it's got some magnesium and copper and lead and barium and some polymer nanoparticulates and some aluminum and so we're here. Could you just step aside because we're coming in?" Would there be a confrontation at your front door, Bruce?
I'll ask them if they want to play catch with a 12-gauge slug.
so the point I'm trying to make is nobody in their right mind would allow this. And if it weren't done with the support of the United States government, the endorsement and the support, those planes would have been shot out of the sky. But they're not. They're being refueled. They're flying over our airspace. And it is a threat to the entire world. So we have these trees that have accumulated these heavy metals. They're burning at really hot temperatures. You know that firemen can't get near them because it is so hot. Well, magnesium, I have a roll of magnesium ribbon that I had as a child. And this is about the width of a match from a book of matches, not that wide. So it's really narrow, thickness of a piece of paper. And if you take a match and you light this, it takes a while to heat it up, but if you heat it up, it burns white hot. So we have sprayed from the sky these incendiaries all over the ground, and they're burning very, very hot. And that's why the firemen can't put the fires out. And It's everywhere. It's in the water. It's in the air. It's in our food. It's in the trees. And it needs to stop. But no one's paying attention, including the guy that we're not supposed to be talking about tonight. He's not stopping it either.
The world is burning. The world is burning. Australia, Brazil, you know, giant swaths of forest. And then we get back to Greta, the CO2. Isn't it vegetation that converts CO2 to oxygen? I mean, where's the outcry for that? I mean, it's just bizarre. I'll let the next caller come on.
Thank you.
But I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Bruce.
Good day.
I appreciate it. Yeah, old Greta, she was recently on a train, I guess from Spain, going back to her home country. She's going through Germany. And photo op, and that's all this thing was. This Greta Thunberg, or however you pronounce her last name, Vin, she's just a little front, and this is a docuseries. That's how this whole thing was done. This was nothing but a videographed and choreographed video presentation designed to do what? Global warming. And this, she evidently pissed off the owners of the train line. She was traveling in Germany because she tweeted out that she was on this overcrowded train and showed her sitting on the floor of the train. And evidently the top brass made a few inquiries only to find out that a dear old Greta was traveling in first class, and everybody on board that train bent over backwards to kiss her little tushy. So, yeah. And it's rather fascinating when she gets in an environment that she doesn't have a script and she doesn't have her script writers in her ear telling her what to say. She just freezes up and passes the microphone. David in Illinois. Hello, Dave.
How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, Vince. How you doing?
David?
Are you there?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to get myself together a little bit. I didn't expect you to go to the, disabled children situation from their, side effects of that. So, try to get myself together here in a minute. Anyways, I thought those chemtrails were, I heard people talking about them, and I thought they were nonsense. And my dad got a hold of me. I mentioned part of this to your show before, where he says, no, I had my federal stuff updated. Some of this is going to apply to you, but they put it all on one form, and I'm going to give it to you because you may need this down the road. And he told me about that, and I said, wait a minute. You mean that's real? You guys are really spraying? I said, why would you do something like that? He said, there's multiple reasons why we do this. One of the reasons, which you haven't really got on, he said, what if we want somebody's land, or an area of land? It's too costly as far as eyes of the public to take it. So we ruin the land. We supposedly they can't grow it. They can't use it for anything. The people may pass away. We go in there. We get the land. I said, but then you got to clean it up. He said, how many times have I told you we got unlimited resources? Do you think we care what it costs?
That's the government for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and like I was shocked, you know, that when they explained this, you know, when he was telling me this, he said, but keep this because part of this is going to deal with you when you were younger, where he was involved in that stuff prior to when he went back. And it was updated in 2014, I think it said. And one of the things that were on there was that barium.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that was on that doc. I don't remember all of them because I didn't look at it very long, but they had it all listed on that government document.
Well, and David, there have been people that have sent lab samples or samples to laboratories for analysis. And questions were asked, okay, we got your sample ready, and this is what's in it. What is this stuff? Where did you get it? And after they receive the lab analysis, they get a follow-up phone call or a knock on the door going, hi, mm-hmm. How you doing? You seem to be interested in this. What's going on? And it's somebody from your local governmental agency. Hey, look, David, I got to move here because Vinny's got to go, and we got about 3 or 4 callers to get through here, okay?
Bye.
All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate it. Al in West Virginia. Go ahead, Al.
Yeah. Hey, John. I guess you can hear me.
Yeah, go ahead.
I know the phones was messed up there a second ago, but anyhow, you know, you guys know, I don't remember what case it was, but the Supreme Court ruled that United States can experiment with weapons on the U.S. citizens or citizens of the United States, one or the other. But anyhow, I'll tell you my shortcut. This is, I've always said this. Here's the way you shut the whole thing down, including all these other wars we were in everywhere around the world. Everybody quit paying taxes, quit financing them.
Yeah, that doesn't work. That's a good suggestion, except for one thing. The government takes in anywhere between $1 and $1.5 trillion a year in taxes from various places. The problem is that doesn't cover the cost. They've got Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, government programs, throwaway stuff. You know, they're just budgeted out, and they're just full tilt boogie into debt oblivion. The point is that the government doesn't care. It just continues to borrow. So whether we pay taxes or we don't pay taxes is really not going to affect them or slow them down. They're addicted to the easy money that has been offered by our bankster gangsters. Al, appreciate your call. Let me move to Andy here. Hello, Andy.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Oh, here I am. Hey, thanks for letting me come on the show. I'm actually not in Texas. I've been living out here in California in the high desert for the last 3.5 months. And,
okay, well, my board op transplanted you here.
Yeah, well, I told him Texas because you guys are familiar with that, but I'll be back in Texas shortly. Okay, I can't stay here. Anyway, the wind was blowing a little bit. We were supposed to have a high wind warning yesterday, so they didn't chemtrail so much in the high desert area. But today, it was a beautiful blue sky. The radar showed no clouds coming in. Supposed to have a beautiful clear sky and whatnot. And then all of a sudden, these planes just kept coming across and coming across and coming across.
Yep.
And then the noon, when they showed the weather, they said, oh, partly cloudy for the rest of the day. When they said earlier in the day that there was not supposed to be any clouds. Well, I made a video of this, several videos of it, but I don't have the bandwidth to get them all loaded up. I got one loaded up on my YouTube channel. But so today I got examples of planes that – there's several planes that fly across this high desert, and most of them were chemtrailing, and some of them were curving. They were making corners and stuff, looping around and stuff, like they weren't going anywhere.
Just having fun.
You know, they were just – yeah, just having a great time. There's some figure eight stuff kind of looked. I'm sure they just had crossing paths. But it just totally spread out into a ginormous cloud over
Andy,
there.
Andy, years ago, when I first came down here to Austin, I didn't hear chemtrails, didn't pay too much attention to it. I got down here. Somebody was, I think it was even Alex Jones, was talking to me about chemtrails. And I says, okay, who, what, where, and why? He said, just take a look. He said, just walk out in the morning. Look up, and he says, you'll see them. Look like little contrails coming from airplanes. He says, but what they'll do is they'll spread out, and they'll keep spreading. More trails, they keep spreading out. And by the end of the day, that was a clear sky, you're going to have this murky kind of grayish cast. And I watched this, and lo and behold, he was right. So I called the local weatherman. And called him, and I said, you know, you're predicting high pressure here, blue skies, no clouds. And I said, have you looked at the sky? Well, yeah, it's clear. I said, are you next to the studio door? I said, open the studio door, walk outside, and look up. He did so. He came back, and he said to me, he says, man, it looks like an overcast, a haze out there. And I says, and you're telling your listeners that it's clear skies, no clouds. I said, what does that look like to you? And I told him, I said, sounds to me like chemtrails. You ought to research it. And he says, well, give me any information you have on it. Of course, I provided the information, but I never heard back from him. Andy, I got one more caller to clear. I got to let Vin go here because he's already put on a long farm day. Ken in New York. Hello, Ken.
Yes, John, I think I can answer a couple questions. The Morgellons may be an example of inorganic growth, and that could be why they mix all of these chemicals in an experiment.
Are you talking about kind of like a chemical lattice of some sort?
Yes, yeah, so something that similar to what used to be called a dendrite. Circuitry in the old days sometimes would grow like hairs and short out different parts of a circuit. And that's something to do with the composition of the solder.
Hmm. Well,
at the time,
the Morgellons fibers that I saw, I actually had this biggest magnifying glass I'd ever seen. And I was looking at these hairs out of this girl's arms, and they were moving. You know, they weren't in inert, or they looked to me to be biological and alive. So I don't know. Mm-hmm. It didn't look like a chemical or a mix of chemical or mineral, you know, lattice of some sort. No, it looked like it was alive.
It's possible. I mean, I've heard several different kinds of descriptions, and I do remember, I don't know if it was Coast to Coast or years ago, something about a woman having one of these problems. The other thing I'd like to mention for Vince is if he has a scope, he's going to need something a lot higher than 100 megahertz in order to be able to see microwave. You wouldn't be able to see microwave directly unless you had something used for $2,000 to $5,000.
Mm-hmm. No,
or
I understand
need
it.
Something
I
like
understand
a prescaler.
Yeah.
No, I understand.
A prescaler. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I talked over you. Go ahead.
No, I understand that. John, would it be all right if we just took a minute and talked about Dane Wigington? Would you mind?
If you feel that you must, go ahead.
Okay. So Dane Wigington was on the cover of a solar magazine because of his solar array in his solar system. This was years and years ago. And the reason he became involved in what's happening with climate manipulation, climate engineering, geoengineering, is because he had and has meters that measure how much electricity he's generating from his solar array. And he built a really fabulous array. And he noticed that the amount of electricity that he was generating was decreasing. He tried to figure out why. And he looked up and he saw that the solar rays from the sun were being blocked by these chemicals or sprays that clouded out the sun. And he wanted to know what's going on, because he spent a lot of time and money building a solar system that developed half the power that it used to. I just want to say that's why he's involved.
Yeah. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming on today, Vin. I really do.
Thank you.
I wish you and your family well, and get out that Bing umbrella to protect ourselves from those chemtrails out there.
Well, we can't. There's not much we can do except stop them.
Gotcha.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Vin. I appreciate you. Thanks. All right. Let me take one more here before the break. Rattlebone in Colorado Springs. Hello.
Hello, Mr. Stadtmiller. I finally have learned to put my call onto a earphones, okay?
Great.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Thank you, sir. Vince, it's just marvelous and a great tribute to your organization there, sir, as well as yourself. Morgellons, man, I don't know of anybody, you know, that talks about that one, you know. Right on for you. That's a real frightening thing there. And I've seen pictures, I think it was on YouTube, about little things crawling on people's arms.
Yeah.
I want to echo what you guys have been talking about. I think we should all call the FAA. And over Northern California, where I am from, it's fun. It's really cool. You can play tic-tac-toe up there. So these guys are up there playing. They're having a good time. Alan Watt, who used to be with you guys over there, had mentioned that maybe they don't really know, and that maybe that it is the commercial airlines that have tanks in them somewhere. I really don't know.
Well, and initially, all the photographs that I have seen, they had nozzles and actual spray venturis that they would spray. But
exactly.
That has disappeared, and they've now formulated this stuff to burn in a JP4. Okay,
exactly.
The jet fuel. So they don't have to. They don't have to do anything. Just fuel up a plane. Yeah. The pilot doesn't know that it's there, and he's taking part in blanketing the earth, kind of like that old Sherwin Williams with the gallon of paint tipping over and covering the earth. Yeah. Hey, I got a break, Rattlebone. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it, bud.
Thank you. Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Some say life will beat you down and break your heart, steal your crown. So it started out for God knows where.
I wanted to run through this real quick, what's going on down in Australia, and rockets are being launched in the Middle East, folks. Oh, boy, here we go. Are we on the prelude to World War III? For the sake of our Israeli friends over there, for the Greater Israel Project, it still continues 18-plus years later, trillions of dollars, millions dead, and, well, you get the idea. I'll get into that as well in the last part of today's program. This came from Australia, which kind of shocked me that they were this quick in tackling this little problem that they have of everything burning down in Australia. The Australian police say that arsonists and lightning to blame for the brush fires, not climate change. Now, I talked about that yesterday, and lo and behold, I turn on Fox News today, they're doing the exact same story. Shock of all shocks. Authorities in Australia are working on the premise that arsonist and lightning strikes are to blame for brush fires that have devastated numerous areas of the country, not climate change, as many global warming alarmists have claimed. And I can see old Greta sitting there spinning like a top right now. Since November, the fires have struck various regions of the state of New South Wales, destroying thousands of buildings, killing at least 22 people. And despite the fact that brush fires are not uncommon in Australia, the severity of the damage led numerous climate change alarmists to blame the disaster on man-made global warming. And who knows, probably strontium and aluminum and God knows whatever on the ground as well to superheat this and make it really go. Earlier this week, Bernie Sanders blamed those who were delaying action on climate change for the blood-red sky and unbreathable air in Australia because of raging forest fires. However, according to those tasked with investigating the fires, climate change has nothing to do with it. And this comes from 7 News from Sydney. Police are now working on this premise that arson is to blame for much of the devastation caused by this brush fire season. A strike force will investigate whether blazes were deliberately lit and bring those responsible to justice. Well, here's the follow-up. Authorities in the country have formed Strike Force Indara, I-N-D-A-R-R-A, comprising of detectives from homicide and arson units, an attempt to find the culprits. Other causes for the fires include lightning strikes, natural weather phenomenon called dipole, again, neither of which have anything to do with the man-made climate change. Many brush fires are also actually caused by environmental green policies, which prevent landowners from clearing their own vegetation to protect themselves, just like the wingnuts have done here in this country and in California. Yeah, how's that working out for you? Governments appeasing the green beasts have ignored numerous state and federal brush fire inquiries over the past decade. Almost all of these have recommended increasing the practice of prescribed burning, also known as hazard reduction. It's the methodical regime of burning off flammable ground cover in cooler months in a controlled fashion so it doesn't fuel the inevitable summer brush fires. Which, if you think about this, folks, if you got a bunch of little stubble and stuff out there and that catches on fire, it burns out rather quickly, doesn't generate enough heat or enough flame to burn down the trees, right? Okay, well, that's common sense, not these people. Now, it is kind of bizarre that these fires, I mean, literally, Australia is like a big matchhead. It's just burning like crazy. And the practices, and you would think, if you can't see that forest for the trees, my green friends out there, you would think standard practice of protecting lands, and we understood what clearing brush meant. Well, no, they said that disturbed the environment. That caused stress on different species and this, that, and the other. Well, they got their way. Now all they got is scorched earth. Rather bizarre. This just coming in, we actually have a video here. Too bad you can't see it. Iranian revenge attack on a U.S. base in Iraq. Video footage has emerged purporting to show the first moments of an alleged Iranian retaliatory strike on an American base in Iraq, which comes days after the U.S. assassination of a top Iranian general. Yeah. Okay. So, several other unconfirmed photos also circulate on social media, allegedly showing the attack in progress. Now, this whole thing about Soleimani, he was an asset of the U.S. I do believe he was an asset of the CIA. Remember Mr. Bin Laden? Yeah, same thing. He was an asset of the CIA. They go in and set these people up, and then they're flipped. The guy that's the good guy that's helping our cause, one day decides to do an about-face and go rogue. And he then becomes the greatest terrorist the U.S. has faced, and they're masterminding global domination. Now, that would be Israel. That would be Israel. You know, isn't it funny, folks, have you thought about this yet? Most of these refugees, we're not talking about Mexico. That's kind of a problem here to the indigenous United States people. Hondurans, Ecuadorians as well. Everybody walks up and gets across the border. Well, at least they used to be able to. The volume of people is being shut down. But in the rest of the planet, they're all from the Middle East. Wow. Why is that?
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon, my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed the newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
If you be my bodyguard, I can be your long-lost pal. I can call you Betty, Betty when you call me.
Well, the media narrative has been blown apart by Aussie authorities. They count more than 180 arrests related to brush fires. Devastating brush fires continue to burn into the third straight calendar month in Australia. Officials seem to have zeroed in on one of the disaster's prime movers, arsonists. Now, who do you suppose, folks, those arsonists would be? Would they be the green people? Would they be the people in there that want to really push the climate change? Why would anybody want to kill people and murder millions of animals? The Sydney Morning Herald reported Monday that 183 people have been arrested and charged with fire-related offenses in the southeastern coastal state of New South Wales, where fires have claimed the lives of 18 people, this is just in New South Wales, and destroyed nearly 1,500 homes. Those arrested include 24 people accused of deliberately starting the brush fires. Unprecedented numbers of people have been arrested and charged with arson offenses. Craig Kelly reportedly said in an appearance on the Australian Broadcasting Corp's RN Breakfast, he says the arson is not caused by climate change. The sound of barbecued crickets chirping could be heard from left-wing climate activists as the news broke. Having invested weeks and weeks into successfully crafting the narrative man-made climate change had been responsible for one of the driest seasons and greatest natural disasters ever to hit Australia, climate zealots were met with a harsh reality. They had fallen into a trap. Not waiting for any of those facts to come to light, progressives from the Hill to Hollywood academia to the media, played on repeat videos of raging fires and suffering species in an attempt to forward their radical environmentalist agenda. Never straying from their traditional playbook, international leftist elites did everything they could to tug on the heartstrings of everyday citizens and win the converts to their fast-growing religion of climate sensationalism. Of course, one would be foolish to assume that the failure of such mass narrative manipulation would result in anything even remotely resembling course correction or admission of error. Can't admit that. Wow. The information coming in about the activity in the Middle East, folks, I watched General Keane on Fox News, the blue-eyed wonder, coming up in the justifications for going in and going after Soleimani. And, well, folks, we were ahead of that game. We came up and told you who Soleimani really is. You know, kind of like an Osama bin Laden, wasn't he? Oh, he's a great asset. Oh, he was out there killing ISIS in northern Iraq. Well, now he's the boogeyman, and we got to kill him. And here's the thing, folks. Yesterday's narrative on the news, what did the Democrats come out with? They were saying pretty much the same thing I said on this program yesterday, that it was murder. Why is something murder? Murder is taking the life of somebody else by means other than legal means. It gets kind of fuzzy. Basically, murder is taking somebody's life that didn't deserve it. Okay? Well, this guy deserved it because he killed 600 servicemen and he did all this stuff. Well, that's the narrative that they're pushing. Well, behind the official yet dubious justifications for this U.S. airstrike, what did the Democrats do yesterday? They were saying the same thing I was. It was murder. Now, this isn't an act of war, because also what the Democrats did yesterday, they want justification from the Congress critters up there to get an okay from Congress for military action, which I thought that's how things used to be. Now, of course, folks, like busted clocks that are right twice a day, the Democrats are right on these two points. And I'm not opposed to where the truth comes from and to undergird that and stress it. They were right. The recent assassination of Iran's most popular and well-known general, Qasem Soleimani, has stoked fears that the new war pitting the U.S. and its allies against Iran could soon become a devastating and deadly reality. The airstrike that killed Soleimani, conducted by the U.S. in Baghdad, was conducted without the authorization or even prior notification of the U.S. Congress and without the approval of Iraq's or military itself. And by the way, they pretty much said today, we want the U.S. the hell out of our country, as they should be. And I heard, yeah, about this billion-dollar base they built over there. Well, so, does a billion-dollar base sound to you like the U.S. military had any plans on leaving anytime soon, if at all? Doesn't sound like it to me. The attack yesterday also killed an Iraqi militia commander, Abu Mahdi al-Manhadis, who was the advisor to Soleimani. The assassination of the Iraqi military commander who holds an official position is considered aggression on Iraq, and the liquidation of leading Iraqi figures or those from a brotherly country on Iraqi soil is a massive breach of sovereignty. This is what Iraq's Prime Minister Adel Abdul Mahdi said of the attack, adding that the assassination was a dangerous escalation that will light the fuse of destructive war in Iraq, the region, and the world. Now, I'm thinking here, maybe what part of the plan here is kind of unite the Arab people over there and all have them fighting against, well, not each other, but against maybe U.S. forces. Because there's not much left over there, folks, really, when you think about it. And how much of a concerted effort would it be to kill every U.S. serviceman over there? In my estimation, not much. But these will be the sacrificial lambs, of course. This will be the justification for just all-out war in the Middle East. Now, notably, the assassination of Soleimani comes just a few months after an alleged Israeli attempt to kill the Iranian general failed, and amid a well-documented and decade-long push by the neocons here in this country and Israeli officials for the U.S.-led war with Iran. You know, this deal that was set up by, Obama, you know, the nuclear deal. Well, we need to rip that one apart, of which they did. They said, we're walking away from that deal. Now, and I've said this before, and it might sound kind of strange to repeat this, but these are sovereign countries over there. Sovereign countries within their own borders are bound and by duty to protect their own people. So how do you protect them? Well, you give them boxes of paper clips and rubber bands? What munitions are allowed or not? Oh, you want to build a nuclear device for protection of your own people? Let me remind you of something here, folks. The only people who've ever had nuclear weapons over there is the Israelis. They got hundreds of them. Hundreds of them. So you see, Israel is really not at threat of extinction, because they can always pull that little magic rabbit out of their hat and start launching nuclear weapons. So it isn't like Israel is defenseless over there. But of course, them being our allies, a strike on Israel is like a strike on the United States. Why? Why must it be? When the illegality of this assassination has been noted by many since the news of the attack first spread, less attention has been given to the oddities of the administration's official reasoning and justification for the attack that has brought with it renewed tension to the Middle East. Per administration officials, the attack was aimed at deterring future Iranian attack plans. As if they kill one guy and there'll never be another plan ever drawn up. Sounds kind of odd, doesn't it? Well, odd you want, odd you get. Now, this is supposedly, as I said, deterring future Iranian attack plans, as well as a response to a rocket attack at the K-1 military base near Kirkuk, Iraq, on December 27. That attack killed one U.S. military contractor and lightly wounded several U.S. soldiers and an Iraqi military personnel. Yet the details of that attack, even per mainstream U.S. sources that often support U.S. militarism, are incredibly murky, and the name of the American killed and the identity of the company he or she was working for hasn't been released. Corpus delicti, show me the body. Some media reports have referred to the contractor as a Pentagon contractor, while others have used the term civilian contractor, leading some to speculate that the contractor might have been a private mercenary in the employ of the Pentagon. In addition, no group has yet claimed responsibility for that attack, and media reports have noted the attack could just as easily have been conducted by remnants of the Islamic State as by the Iraqi Shia militia that was officially blamed by U.S. officials. An official investigation into this incident being conducted by the Iraqi military has yet to be conducted. Notably, U.S. previously claimed that it had compelling evidence to blame Iran for attacks on oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman last June, only to have staunch U.S. allies in the region claim that alleged U.S. evidence of Iranian involvement was insufficient. False flag attack, let's just call it what it is. Furthermore, the U.S. had already responded to the death of the contractor, launching five different attacks in Iraq and Syria in late December, killing an estimated 25 and motivating Iraqi protesters to storm the U.S. embassy in Baghdad, as many of those killed by those airstrikes were Iraqis. The subsequent airstrike that killed Soleimani seems like overkill for the official justification of avenging the death of one American. Female, male, private contractor, who the hell knows? Now, given the above questions, then becomes, is the Trump administration basing its assassination of a top Iranian general in Iraqi sovereign territory in clear violation of international law on the death of a single individual that the government will not even name, even when the five strikes were already launched to allegedly avenge that same individual? Now, what they're doing here is risking a regional war to allegedly avenge the death of an individual who's already avenged raises questions, especially for a president standing for re-election The United States claims that the assassination was also intended to act as a deterrent against potential future Iranian attacks. Yet it's hard to justify the murder of a top general of a foreign power on foreign soil as preemptive and preventative measure as opposed to one that would invite escalation. This is particularly true given that those that have the most often sought an escalation, excuse me, intentions between Iran and the U.S. and its Middle Eastern allies do not live in Tehran or Baghdad, but instead in Washington, D.C. and in Tel Aviv. Now, much has been written by Mint Press and other outlets about the long-standing efforts by prominent neoconservatives in the U.S., as well as the Israeli lobby and the Israeli government, to prod the U.S. into a major war with Iran. Neoconservative efforts at regime change in Iran have been decades in the making. Even the current presidential administration has several notable Iran hawks in prominent positions. Furthermore, both Trump and his foremost ally in the Middle East, Benny Netanyahu, are facing domestic efforts aimed at removing them from office and are facing fresh elections, giving both leaders incentive to ratchet up tensions abroad to distract from their own domestic conflicts. Given the recent assassination of Soleimani, however, it's essential to point out that the U.S. airstrike targeting the Quds Force leader came just a few months after Israel tried but failed to assassinate this general, and indeed the most recent of these failed attempts was slated to occur last October, per the Times of Israel. And this is what the Times of Israel wrote: the assassinations planned to dig under the religious site associated with Soleimani's father and set off an explosion under the building when he was inside, and then tried to deflect blame so that it ignited an interfractional religious war. The assassinations prepared some 500 kilograms to use for the bomb. Now, it's interesting the Israeli government didn't comment on the alleged plot, though it's notable that the plan to dig below a Muslim holy site and plant a bomb has been attempted by Israel extremist groups in the past, groups which have a major foothold in Israel's current government. And this is what is... this is what's bothering most Israelis, folks. Not everybody over there is seething to kill all Arabs and steal all the Palestinians' land. They're sick of this stuff, just as we are here. The report claimed that there is an American-Israeli agreement that Soleimani is a threat to the two countries' interests in the region, and was published by the Kuwaiti newspaper Al Jarida, which is widely considered to be an Israeli platform platform for conveying messages to other countries in the Middle East. And that's according to the Israeli media, by the way. Now, Israel may have planned to assassinate the general as a means of provoking a war with Iran, which Netanyahu was actively promoting last February. At the time, Newsweek reported that Israel's Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, has expressed his desire to go to war with Iran and said that he was meeting with dozens of foreign envoys, including those from the Arab world, in order to push the initiative forward. Yet with Israel's closest ally having done the deed, Israel has kept relatively quiet about this incident, though Iranian officials have claimed that the assassination of Soleimani was jointly conducted by the U.S. and Israel. Though the official yet dubious justifications for the strike have been given, the most likely result of the death of Soleimani as it will light the fuse of war. As recently stated by Iraqi's prime minister, whether Soleimani's death alone would be enough to push the U.S., Iran, and their respective allies to war remains to be seen. But what is certain is that the Trump administration seems content to continue to escalate the situation in pursuit of both long-standing ambitions of career war hawks as well as the release for quickly building domestic pressure ahead of the 2020 election. So, infusion of politics in there in this as well? Well, it is what it is, folks, and it does not look good. What the hell? I mean, 18 going on 19 years? How many trillions? Have we had an accounting on how many trillions yet? there hasn't been an accounting of how many deaths. They're even hesitant to tell you how many Americans died over there. And let me hit the reset here. Why were we there? Kind of started with Iraq and, oh, those oil fields in Kuwait. When Kuwait was found slant drilling into Iraqi territory to siphon, you know, to stick that sipping straw in the earth and suck their oil, and it was in Iraqi territory. Well, Saddam Hussein wasn't real happy about it, and he told them to quit it, and they said, bleh. So a deal was struck with Georgie Bush, and Saddam was only supposed to, well, go in there and capture half of the Kuwaiti oil. Well, while Saddam was there, he said, bah, to hell with it, I'll just take it all. And therein lies the start of all these wars and endless regime changes and murders and all kinds of chaos going on in the Middle East. And we've created their political situation over there. I thought war was supposed to be, you know, an extension of political ambition, you know, for all the marbles. It seems like they have this back-asswards. We're still there. And excuse me, why were we there? The Middle East was threatening the sanctity and security of the United States through weapons of mass destruction. That turns out that Donald Rumsfeld engineered that sale to Iraq. But Saddam Hussein put his nose in the wind, smelled it coming. He got rid of all that stuff. Remember all the drama? They were looking in every sand dune over there in Iraq, weren't they? They were questioning everybody. They were looking for these weapons of mass destruction that Saddam Hussein had since given the heave-ho. There was no justification for going after Iraq, no justification for the invasion of Iraq. And fast forward. Excuse me, why we were in a country named Syria? Syrian government didn't invite U.S. military. There was another invasion. But that was checkmated, ladies and gentlemen. By whom? That's right, Vladimir Putin and the Russian forces over there. To really go after ISIS and all those dirty little terrorists that the United States has actually trained and funded and supported. These supposedly people wanting freedom in Syria from this evil guy that was running the country. It was all a setup. The Russians went in there, cleaned the rats out, and Syria has been relatively secure, except for the fact that bombing missions from Israel have been going on, as well as the United States, on the Syrian government and, more importantly, the Syrian people. Any excuse and justification, and we'll create one, in order to justify more death. And folks, really what's on the agenda here is the project, and it's a land grab on a massive scale by Israel. They want to be the world's dominant power. Gary in Arkansas. Hello, Gary.
Hi. How are you doing tonight, John?
Good. What's on your mind, Gary?
Well, this goes back into the program a little bit when Finale was on, but y'all threw about a half a dozen dots out there.
Okay, well, go back to the original dot that you want to underscore.
Huh?
Just go ahead with what you wanted to say, Gary.
Okay, well, what they said, it all ties together. 5G, more gallons, the spraying, and more gallons is a silicon-based self-replicating nanorobots, okay? And I think the purpose of it is to set up a parallel nervous system in the body. Now, when you think of silicone, being an electrical engineer, the first thing come to my mind was electronics. Transistors and printed circuits are made out of silicone. Okay, so then we had the Department of Homeland Security hold this zombie drill, and we got 5G in the cell phone towers, which I think will tie into the Morgellons and the central nervous system that's being replicated in the body. Now, there's been testing done, and 80% of the population is infected with this, whether they know it or not.
Yeah.
People that are showing the symptoms are those people whose bodies, for some reason, are rejecting it. But I can't help but think that all this is tied together. Suppose you take the helix, which is like an antenna, they claim, in the cell, and you're immersing the whole planet with 5G. That turns, everybody's got cells in their body, that could turn you all into a receiver, a transmitter to pass this stuff on. Now, if you want a real good background on Morgellons disease, go to jeffrentz.com, okay? And the other...
By the way, Gary, Cliff Carnicom has done a lot of research into Morgellons as well.
Yeah, that was the second one I was just getting ready to mention.
Yep.
That. I've spoke with Cliff Carnicom face-to-face.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done an awful lot of research on this.
Yeah.
But I think all this stuff ties together.
Well, and I do as well. And Gary, my belief here is this isn't just about climate change and directing weather and causing droughts or rains or whatever the case may be. It's more nefarious and dark. Gary, I got one more to squeeze in here. Thank you so much for your call. Hope you're doing well. Jenna in Washington. You got about a minute, Jenna.
Hi, John. Thanks
Hi.
For taking my call.
Mm-hmm.
It's real quick. I just feel that because I'm in the Pacific Northwest and we're seeing the trees died off, standing dead everywhere, how important that living out in the rules and holding stewardship as like one of the priorities of making biochar, and how hard it is to get the idea going because people are so removed from the land. We had a $6 million facility up here in Washington State that closed down because there's just not enough information out there about how to use biomass that's standing dead with all the beetle bug kill-off and the chemtrails and the glyphosates. We've got standing dead trees everywhere, and it can be used to, you know, fix the soil and grow quality food. So I just wanted to mention biochar is a solution that can create economy for people to just get out there on the land.
All right, Jenna, I'm out of time. Thanks for your call. I appreciate it. All right, that'll do it for us today. We'll be back with you tomorrow in another edition of the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stadtmiller, folks. RepublicBroadcasting.org is our website. And please, by way of donations, please support our efforts here at this network.
It happens more often than we can imagine. In my case, I was sitting at home, and out of nowhere, I just started feeling uncomfortable. Then it got worse, and I started perspiring. I tried to ignore it, but I waited too long. The chest pain came as we were driving to the hospital emergency. I felt my life clock begin to tick. I barely survived. There was lots of damage done to my heart. What do I do now? I was lucky. I took a leap of faith and tried a 7-herb formula with hawthorn, garlic, cayenne, and more called Extendivite. Herbs have been used for thousands of years to keep us healthy. If you're not using Extendivite as a preventative supplement, maybe it's time to start. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.